Let's begin with you. Yes, you. Welcome to Journey On, where every story begins with a spark. A when, a why, a how. Here we explore the real and raw narratives of individuals shaping their lives in their own extraordinary ways. At Journey On, we celebrate what makes us different. We honor the diverse perspectives that color our world and the personal journeys that carve out our unique paths. Our experiences, whether they lift us up or break us down, ultimately shape who we are. And it is in that shaping, that becoming, that we find our truest selves. Each episode, we dive into powerful stories, stories that captivate, challenge, and sometimes leave us laughing through tears. These are real stories, human stories. You have a story, I have a story, and we want to hear it. Today's episode is about a girl named Sabina. Her story begins with a boy who made her heart race in a relationship that would change her life forever. It's the story about first love. In the quiet, sometimes painful ways it lingers. Ladies and gentlemen, settle in. This is Sabina's first love. Let me take you back to my secondary days, to the very beginning of school term. If you've ever been to boarding school, you know the first Monday back is quite magical. It's the runway. It's literally the runway. And I think it's different for different schools. If you've been to a mixed school, which means a boy and girl mixed school, then you know, especially when you're a teenager, the first Monday of the new academic year hits different. There's a special excitement to it, and we're gonna talk about that. Yeah. So, as I said, we had just gotten back to school. Everyone, you know, on that first Monday has a fresh hairdo, brand new shoes, you know, crisp uniforms and sparkling pencil cases for girls, at least. It's our runway moment. So, Sabina says, we were young, eager, and secretly wondering, who's new? Who's watching? And do I look good enough to be seen? That term, I had arrived a little late, so I missed the wave of introductions for the new students. My friends were already abuzz when I entered the dorm on Sunday evening. One of them whispered to me, Sabina, there's some new boys, very, very cute boys, oh, very cute boys. And I was just like, this is not like her. Christine is not like this. How come this time she's equally excited? Because, you know, you had those other girls in school, you know, the more stylish, the more high-end girls that had the boys' attention. But, you know, myself and Christine were just normal girls. So we were never really fazed with the trends and the, you know, the newness of things and new students and all those things. We were just normal girls. We were focused on our studies. We enjoyed ourselves. We just had a good time. But for the first time, Christine is like, hey, they're very cute boys. So I shrugged it off with a smile, but deep down I was curious. The next morning, this is Monday morning, the air was thick with perfume, laughter, and nerves as we were getting ready to get out of the dormitories. So I slipped into my best uniform, sprayed on my strawberry body splash. Hey, who doesn't want to smell good? Who does not want to smell fresh? So, you know, back then, having body splash was like you were special. If you've been to boarding school, you're probably not allowed to have all these fancy things, but just smelling nice was different. So I walked into the breakfast hall with the girls, and that's when I saw him. He was tall, with a quiet intensity, the kind of eyes that made you stop mid-step. His name was Adam, and I just overheard one of his friends calling him. And in that moment, something clicked. Not just attraction, but recognition. Like my heart had been waiting for him. I didn't speak to him that day, but I noticed him, and he noticed me because he glanced. My lips are very glossy. I loved lip gloss. So as much as I had my uniform, my strawberry body splash, I also had my lip gloss on. And many people say that I had a beautiful smile. One of my friends said, my smile could land 1,000 ships. And I think that's what struck him at first sight. So in the weeks that followed, our paths crossed more often. At first, it was a smile here and there on the hallway. Nothing much, just, you know, boys and girls just being boys and girls. Then a high during prep. Eventually, we found ourselves sitting together next to each other in the TV room, in prep, laughing over nothing, completely at ease. There was no pressure, no performance. It felt natural. Soon, Adam began walking me to the dorm stairs after class, after prep, on the weekends, and even, you know, sometimes he would join me for hikes, movie nights, swimming. It was nothing serious, just companionship. But it felt like I had known him all my life. I didn't feel the need to try too hard. I didn't need to feel that pressure that I needed to please him. I could be myself around him. And I think that's what made me feel like this was it. So the more I got to spend time with Adam, the more my stomach just ran with butterflies. I felt these strong butterflies the moment I would see him. The moment I would smell him, I could almost feel him from a distance when he would approach. Sabina says, one evening, after prep, Adam stopped me as I was about to climb the stairs. Sabina, he said, voice low, eyes serious. We've been talking a while and I really like you. I enjoy your company. I want to be with you. I froze. I literally froze. You know when someone catches you off guard and you were not ready? This was one of those moments. Because, I was just enjoying us just being friends, you know? I mean, I thought about us being together, but, like, I was having a good time. You know, just having conversations about nothing serious. And honestly, I hadn't dated before. So, I didn't know what dating looked like. So, my expectations of dating and maybe how someone would ask me out was something that really didn't ring a bell. Like, I didn't know what to expect. So I just froze. I froze and I had nothing to say. But I remember my heart beating so fast. I could barely speak. But I played it cool, smiled, and said, "Thanks. I'll think about it." I remember walking away and screaming and saying, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." But obviously he didn't hear me, but I was so excited. I was so, so excited, and I wanted to cry. I wanted to tell everybody. It was probably one of my favorite moments as a teenager. And for me, I just thought, out of all girls, he chose me. And that meant something, because in school, I didn't always feel beautiful. There were girls who were louder, more confident, more visible. They came from rich families. And don't get me wrong, I was confident. I was very confident, but often quietly so. Around other girls like me, I sometimes felt like I was just there. So when Adam chose me, it felt like I was finally seen. Eventually, I said yes. And yeah, we became a couple. Adam was, he was thoughtful. Whenever he went home on weekends, he would return with gifts for me. Snacks, sweets, soap, lotion, whatever, you know, whatever I ran out of, and I just told him casually, like, "Oh, I'm thinking about getting XYZ. Or, oh, I'd really love to have XYZ. He would go ahead and just get it for me. So this was probably the best feeling. I felt like he cared for me. He would protect me. He listened. He didn't necessarily flaunt and try to please me with his words. He was more of an action man. So everything he did was very intentional. No one had ever been, you know, had ever done things like that for me before. So he was kind. I would say he was kind. So he didn't do this just once. He didn't do it twice. This was something that he did often. So it became a norm. I hadn't realized how starved I was for affection until Adam fed me this affection, this love, this care, the attention. And I got used to it. I wanted more and more and more. And every day was a new day, a new feeling, a new excitement. And life finally felt more meaningful. Like, this is exactly what I needed. You see, I grew up in a home where my needs were met: food, clothes, shelter. But love, affection, emotional safety, that was rare. So Adam's gestures weren't just sweet nothing. They were life-changing. They made me feel chosen, cherished enough. We talked about everything with Adam: our futures, our fears. He wanted to marry me. He even introduced me to his mom on a phone call. Kesaid Mama. This is Sabina. She's special. And I remember that call. It almost felt like it was such a long call, but that was literally the conversation. Mama, this is Sabina. She's special. And you know, like when you're sitting with your girlfriends and you meet their parents and they introduce you and they're like, oh my God, this is my best friend. And, you know, I like her so much and we do all these things. It's special. But then a teenage girl and a boy introducing you to their mother, you don't see that every day, my friend. You literally don't see that every day. I felt whole. For once, I felt full. For many years, depression lingered inside of me. My biological parents had long passed on. I had so many broken pieces inside of me. And was enough, broken by people I trusted and hoped that would be my safety net, but sometimes it never seemed to be possible. They didn't show up for me in the way that I wanted them to. You know, sometimes it'd be with other family, friends and cousins, and you would automatically feel left out because all of them had their own parents holding them, protecting them, guiding them. And for me, I was very isolated. I was alone and I never felt like I could fit in. I never felt that love was possible for me. I spent a lot of days and nights missing my mother and my father, thinking about the type of love that would show me if they were around. And it was just unfortunate. I think we'll spend another episode talking about Sabina's lost parents and what happened to them. So Sabina says, I wondered whether there was something about me that didn't attract love. I felt like a shadow in my own body. But Adam managed to take that away. Take away the pain. After meeting Adam, my world changed. It felt warm and happier. I experienced a new norm. When I returned home during the holidays, it just felt dark and gloom. I didn't feel like going back home. I really, really honestly just wanted to stay in school. Because that was now my happy place. That's where I spent my days with Adam. I spent my days with my friends. We went swimming. We went hiking. We did all the fun things a young person would want to do. And there's some people who would be wondering, did these kids really go to school? How come Sabina doesn't talk about, you know, classes and all those things? I was actually quite bright. I attended my classes. I did all the things that were expected of me of school. I was a very, very good girl. So let me just put that out there, Sabina says. So I preferred being at school with my friends and Adam. But like every story, or let me say my story, my truth, my honesty, my reality, my perfect love, Adam. Eventually, things started to shift. I started noticing some cracks. But one evening, Adam opened up to me about something heavy. His battles with addiction, his financial struggles, the pressures to provide for his mom, for me, for himself. He believed he had to keep up a certain lifestyle to survive, to stay sane, to be useful, to be needed. He hadn't shared this with me before, but he hadn't shared this with anyone as well. So I remember this being one of the most challenging times for me, because the boy that I love very much, as young as he is, how was it possible that he was struggling with addiction? How was it possible that he was struggling financially? I never really sat down to assess and understand his family dynamics for him really to be in this type of challenges, to experience this type of hardship. So it was a shock. In fact, it was very painful. It ached in my heart, in my soul, in every aspect of my body. I felt like he didn't deserve this. He was a good boy. He treated me so perfectly. How was it possible that he was the one to experience such challenges? So I promised him to be his shoulder. I thought if I loved him hard enough, just maybe I could heal him. You know, there's a funny thing about women. Women usually think that, I can change him. I can make him better. He loves me so much. So he'll definitely do better. So I hoped for the best. We stayed together through his ups and downs, the challenges that I had in my life as well. I told him about my family dynamics. I told him about my depression. I was just a teenage girl, but I loved him with the depth of someone twice my age. He was intense. He was very mature. I would say the most mature relationship I've ever had. Weeks to come, I started noticing his fingers and toes had been poked, a little red under his nails. And I remember seeing this type of thing in movies. So now, seeing this on a real person, seeing this on my Adam, at first I didn't ask him, but I decided to do my own research and to see what drug users used to experience this high. And I remember reading online possibilities of him using heroin or cocaine. So I remember I spent that night crying, wondering whether I was able to change his mind. If I was to speak to him, would that be enough? If I was to tell him possible outcomes of long-term usage, would that change his mind? Was he in too deep? Had he just started? Maybe I was very confused. I was so confused, and I really wanted to help. So it was a nightmare. It hurt me so much because I loved him and he was a good person, a good boy in just a terrible situation. I wasn't sure if me loving him was enough. I thought about talking to his mother, but she was sick, so I simply couldn't do it, honestly. I thought about telling the teachers, but then he would probably be sent out of school, and I was already in a very tricky situation. And Sabina says, later in the story, I'll explain all those other gaps, all the things that you're thinking, Why was his mother, you know, asking for money? Why did he feel the need to support his family? What were the dynamics? What were the challenges? We'll get to hear more about that later. So telling his mother was definitely not an option. Sharing such news could easily escalate her sickness, so I kept quiet. And I remember one day, it was a weekend, I was in the dormitory, and he sent me a text. He said, "Hey babe, meet me down the fields." I was like, okay, I'm finishing up something, but I'll be there as soon as I can. So it took me, let's say, 20, 30 minutes. I went to exactly where he told me to meet him. And I remember seeing an Adam that was quite unusual. He was not himself. He was joyful in the most strangest way. You know, when you see someone laughing, smiling, his eyes were red. He didn't look like himself. And I remember just before I sat down, Adam fell on the floor. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Let's learn more about Sabina's story in the next episode. Bye for now.